What's better than listening to Capes and Scowls podcast? Listening to Capes and Scowls podcast and then listening to Superliminal Films over at superliminalfilms.com, a member of the Capes and Scowls podcast family.
Killed innocent people.
The means to an end.
You started a massacre.
I caused the revolution.
You betrayed the law.
I see you are practiced in worshipping things that fly.
Hulkamania is running wild like it's never ran before.
It's over 9,000.
What?
Rise before Zod.
Bitches leave.
Kneel before Zod.
Oh, this is the worst looking hat I ever saw. Well, you buy a hat like this, I bet you get a free bowl of soup, huh?
Remember, there's always madness. Woohoo! Madness is the emergency exit.
Here it comes! A little going away present for you!
So, we are at our, potentially one of our final interviews, as it's already, NijiCon 2014 is again closing down. We're almost at the closing remarks are happening right now, and I have a special guest with me today, and we're going to chat for a little bit about your work. So if you can introduce everyone to you and what you're doing.
Hi, I'm Alex Wolfson. I have a website that I've called Yowie 911, which is basically, it focuses on, the ostensible tagline is it's guy and guy romance where guys rescue other guys, but really, basically, my background is that as a gay kid growing up, I loved science fiction and action stories, mm-hmm. but I never got to see what I really wanted to see.
Yep.
And for me, what that meant is something that was a really good genre story first, like a good science fiction story first, a good superhero story first, but with a hero, a real hero, who just happened to like guys.
Nice.
And it's in the desire to create that, and particularly to create stories where the hero didn't commit suicide, where he didn't wind up killing his lover or being killed by his lover or dying of a disease with only four letters, to really kind of create these sort of escapist fun, but still having some meaning and some thoughtfulness, kind of these stories, genre stories is what I've been looking to create.
Nice. And so far, what are the books that you have currently out?
So right now I have one book out, which is Artifice. So I pursued a lot of different ways of originally my background is as a filmmaker. And for a long time I was looking to tell my stories as films, because I'm a visual storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
But because I'm looking at these sort of big budget genre kind of vibes, I really wanted it to have that feeling. I realized that, first of all, Hollywood was never going to fund it, because these would have essentially gay heroes. And that I just couldn't do it on my own credit cards to do it the way that I felt it deserved to be done.
Right.
So I decided to then teach myself how to make comics. And so then I decided to, first of all, release my comic stories as PDFs. I'm a writer, and so this is like a great time to be a creator.
Mm-hmm.
And put up a posting on the internet looking for artists. And because I was actually offering money,
yes.
I got about 400 applicants in for that. And, I was able to whittle that down, and I had a paid art test, and finally was able to find a really talented artist named Winona Nelson, who was just head and shoulders above everyone else. He's tremendously skilled. And I knew she would be the one to work on this one special comic, a longer graphic novel that I'd been kind of keeping in my hip pocket that felt really special to me, called Artifice. And so originally my plan was to release these as PDFs.
Mm-hmm.
I released some short comics as PDFs, and basically what you do is you sign up for my mailing list, my email list, and then you get to download my PDFs for free. And it seemed like that was the right way to reach an audience at first. And I got like 26,000 people on my mailing list in the first 2 years.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome.
And yet, here I am. I'm writing for a yaoi loving audience. So mm-hmm. my stuff isn't specifically yaoi in the sense that my guys look like regular guys, mm-hmm. heroic regular guys, but they don't look like Bishonen with the long hair and the,
right.
The super skinniness. And they look like, your action hero type guys.
Yes.
But I say that I write for a yaoi loving audience because I want to make sure that it's clear that I'm writing for women
mm-hmm.
as
mm-hmm.
well as gay men, that mm-hmm. it's not inside baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a gay man, I know that I know that other gay men will know that the work is for them as well.
Right.
And just by the topics I cover and the sort of art treatment, they'll know it is. But I wanted to make it clear that this actually was also for women who were interested in basically those kind of stories.
Yeah.
So I went to all this is a long way to say that I went to YaoiCon with my 26,000 people on my mailing list expecting someone to know who I was.
Right.
I wasn't cocky, but I was like, okay, maybe, you know, it's
a few people.
3,000 people at this con, so maybe 5 or 10, maybe. Nobody knew who I was. Oh. Nobody. But everybody knew who the webcomic creators were.
Interesting.
Two webcomics, which were Starfighter and Tea House, which I recommend you check out. Both are still running right now. And at first I was like, webcomics? I hate webcomics. I mean, I'm the kind of person who doesn't even read, like, the pamphlets, the floppies. You know, I wait for the trade paperback. I want the satisfying chunk. But I realized I actually did read a webcomic. I read Starfighter. Mm-hmm. Why did I read Starfighter? Because my friend Jen had every week for, like, 30 weeks in a row had tweeted every update. Like, every week there'd be a new page update, and she'd tweet. And, like, for the first 14 times, I ignored it. But after 15, 16, 17 times, I'm like, all right, I'll check out this comic. And then I got hooked. And then I realized this is, in order to build an audience, particularly right now with the internet, and, you know, it's about momentum. It's about showing up. And so much about success, I think, in webcomics in particular, but in comics in general, is last person standing.
Yep.
And so that's when I decided that I wanted to do Artifice as a webcomic. I was already working with Winona on it, and I said, okay, we're not going to release it as a PDF that I'm going to charge for. I might have a readership of like 20 at that point. I really want this to be something, the bigger readership. And so then I released that. I started releasing as a webcomic and actually met with great success.
Okay.
Within a year, you know, I started off with, I put a blast out to my mailing list, all 30,000 people at that point, got only 300 people who showed up. It's like, again, it's like, yeah, you learn a lot about what the difference is between having a readership and an engaged readership. And
yep.
But by putting the pages up, I was able to get that readership up from 300 by the end of the year to about 8,000 a day.
Wow.
Unique visitors.
Yeah, that's impressive.
And at that point, I had a Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
To raise money to print the book because I couldn't afford to print it any other way. And I asked for $7,000 in order to make that happen in 30 days because it's Kickstarter, you have a time limit to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I got $36,000.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
So I was able to print it exactly how I wanted it. So yes. That's my first book. That's a book that's out that you can get on Amazon, that you can get from my website that I'm selling at cons.
Okay.
And that book is Artifice. And Artifice is a complete story. It's a standalone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about Deacon, who's a prototype android soldier who's sent on his very first mission to attack a team of scientists who knew too much, and he has failed spectacularly at that mission. Not only did he let one boy live, for some reason, he also attacked the team sent to retrieve him. So now the corporation has hired the brilliant robopsychologist Dr. Clarice Maven to figure out what went wrong. So that's the basic gist of it. It's got action. It's got some comedy in there. It's got romance scene. I never go beyond R-rated, but it is meant for grown-ups. It's for mature audiences.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the current book that's out. I'm going to take a pause right here. I'm just kind of going off on a
No, I appreciate it. No. And I'll let you guys know. So I did actually, I bought the book, and I actually had Alex sign it for me, so I feel very special. And he personalized it, so it's not just something I got so I can just sell it on eBay or something. I got it for myself because I want to keep it for long term. And it's been a great book so far. I've only gotten halfway through only because the con's been keeping me busy, but what I've read so far, the psychiatrist, I didn't realize how much I was going to love the psychiatrist character even more so than, I guess, I don't know if Deacon's the main character per se, if that's the word you want to use, but I love the psychiatrist character. She is just spot on. Is there any kind of inspiration for her?
Well, the inspiration for her is she allows me to kind of tell the story I like to tell, which is, I like action, and I like special effects, and this is something that draws me to genre work, but I like Battle of Wits,
mm-hmm.
where two people are playing their cards close to the vest and trying to outsmart each other with the power of their mind and their words, and she, having a setup where basically Deacon is such an advanced artificial intelligence that they're trying to figure out what went wrong, and traditional diagnostics aren't going to cut it.
Yeah.
So basically they have to use talk therapy on him to try to figure out, like, what happened on this colony, and And yet he's done this terrible thing. Like he attacked the people sent to retrieve him. So in some ways it's a talk therapy session. On another level, he's on trial and being interrogated by somebody who is brilliant. But he's no slouch himself. And having that sort of battle of wits between them is something that was pleasurable for me to write. She is a controversial character. People either love her or they hate her.
But do they hate her because they love her? Because I feel like because she's still lovable. Because I hate her too, but I love her. That's what I love about her is that I hate her.
I mean, I love all my characters. Any character that I'm going to write, I have to have some sympathy for, even the ones that are quite a bit different than myself, even the ones that I think should be locked up and throw away the key. But I mean, so I want my readers to have a connection with the characters. Mm-hmm. And so whether it's hate or love, it still feels like a successful connection there.
And so I will say also, and you may not know this, but this is my first con. So all the listeners, they already know that. And I said to myself, well, one of the things about cons, I do understand that there's writers and there's artists there. But I've never, and everyone here knows, I'm not a writer-artist person. Like, I don't care. I just want the book, I'll read it, and then I'll put it aside. And I was like, oh, who wrote it? I don't know, just some person. I don't care. It's about me reading the book. This is the first time I've had a chance to read something, and then, but I get a chance to look the writer in the face, and it's such a weird, awkward situation, because I love this book already, and here I am talking to the person that wrote it. It's such a, you know, it's awkward, and it's awesome at the same time, so I'm sure a lot of people kind of get tongue-tied around you when they're trying to, like, express themselves, maybe, because they really do like your work, and you're the one that wrote it.
I mean, that's one of the big pleasures of going to a con, is getting a chance to meet your readers, and you know, it is not uncommon that my readers will burst into tears. Like, they'll come in, they'll meet me, and they'll burst into tears, and then they'll apologize for bursting into tears. They're like, I just love your work so much. And it's really, it's so sweet. It's like, you don't need to apologize. It's like, this is a, I mean, you know, I mean, comics is fairly small potatoes, no matter how you slice it. It's got to be a labor of love. You're not doing it for the money. Mm-hmm. You're not going to do it for fame.
You know? Right.
And it's really because it's a way for you to creatively express yourself in the way that feels most natural, that feels most true to the kind of work that's in your head, and connect with a reader in a certain way that you've connected to comics yourself, and seeing, basically having that, both doing a webcomic has an advantage because you post a page a week, and underneath, and so basically the readers sit with a page for a whole week, and so it's a level of examination that you don't get in any other kind of art form. And so all the subtle nuances that you sweat as a creator, that ordinarily you think, oh, it'll get it subliminally or whatever, it'll be text. It'll, like, people will just talk about it in the comments, and it's really gratifying. And the same thing for coming to a con, where you get to meet people, and you get to have people say everything from, you know, like, you've inspired me to make a comic. You know, I never thought that this kind of comic was possible before, and as a gay guy, I'm now wanting to make my own like this, and I'm doing this. That's very gratifying. To, you know, I've had people say, look, I hated myself, I wanted to hurt myself, and I read this, and this gave me a different view that I could be a hero myself, too.
Wow.
And
that's powerful. That's really powerful.
It is. I mean, art is powerful, and that's, you know, it's one of the reasons. I mean, the main reason I am as a creator is to enrich people's lives, you know, and I take a very broad definition of that. I mean, it's certainly nice to save lives. I mean, that certainly is.
Yes.
But even just if people have come back from a hard day and they get the page and it lifts them up, that I consider also enriching the life.
Okay. And so one of the things is that it's like your main character is gay, and in the mainstream comics, like your X-Men titles and your Avengers and stuff, there's always a character, now, thankfully, there's at least a character that's gay, but there's no, it's kind of glossed over, you know, they get one issue,
right.
I'm coming out, and then the next issue deals with it, and then they're just a team member. Why does it matter that there's more LGBT characters coming out in comics, or as a main character? Like, what does it mean? Because we have a lot of listeners who aren't all, you know, with LGBT, and they may not understand. You know, you made a great comment in the very beginning. You know, you've watched a lot of sci-fi, and there was never that male character that had that romance, you know, situation happen. Why do you think it matters, though, to have it out there? I mean, to me, I know the answer already, so I get it, but I wanted to hear from you, from someone else.
Well, I see two layers to it. I mean, obviously, it matters for gay kids growing up, and for just gay people, frankly, gay adults, to see heroic images, to see images, be able to, I mean, art, what art allows you to do is picture things that picture your world in a way that might otherwise feel impossible to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, as human beings, we have nearly unlimited potential, but were boxed pretty early on into these various roles, like be it a gender role, be it a sexuality role, be it a racial, whatever it is, we're told, here's your ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And unless we're given a way to kind of peek around that, that is taken as such a given that we don't question it. And even if we do question it, it just feels like, I might question it, but it's true. Or society is set up so it's true, or something. And when you get to see yourself in these, particularly, it's one of the powers of genre work, you know, in these sort of archetypical heroic roles, or complicated heroic role, it doesn't have to be simplistic or, you know, Dudley Do-Right, it allows you to picture that in your own life, like, I can be that too. Yeah. And so, and it's certainly better than the reverse. Like, you know, that list I gave in the beginning, saying, you know, watch a film where the gay guy commits suicide, kills his lover, doesn't, you know, gets killed by his lover or dies of AIDS. I mean, that was basically every film I watched growing up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And even really good films. Like, here's something that, like the Coen brothers, very talented filmmakers, and they did a film called Miller's Crossing. And if you watch Miller's Crossing, it's a good film. Except if you watch it, every single gay man in that film, and there's quite a number of them, winds up killing their lover. Except for the one gay man who survives at the end, and the only reason he leaves is so that the main character can finally learn that the real thing you have to do is shoot him in the head. That's his character growth arc. You just gotta shoot the gay guy in the head. And, you know, on one level, it's just a story, and it's an interpretation, whatever, but another level, it has an effect on how you see yourself and how you see the world, just like... Frankly, the fact that when I was growing up, and this is still true in many places, the word gay could be used for anything negative.
Yep.
You know, and when you grow, and the weird thing, and this is just people who have not grown up with this experience, one of the weird things about growing up gay is that, you know, when you're a little kid, it's not even on the radar for yourself. I'm just like everybody else. And then one day you realize, wait, I'm not like everybody else. I'm gay. And then you realize, wait, I know what gay is. That's the thing that's everything awful.
Yes, right. That's the only word. That's the only way that people use that word, is in a bad way. So therefore, you have that association.
And so by creating these stories, you know, I've gotten, you know, that's one of the things, for example, I got an email once. I mean, a lot of straight guys read my stories, because I do try to have a science fiction story first, a good genre story first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I sometimes get these emails, and one email I got was, why do you have to call it gay sci-fi? Why do you have to do that? Because I really like it, and are you saying it's only for gay people? And, you know, my response is, no, of course not. I mean, I know I have a wide readership. I love my wide readership. It's not meant to be exclusive. But it's a way for people to find it on Google who are looking for this material.
Yeah,
and it's, you know, and I have a responsibility to kind of make sure that somebody who hasn't been able to see himself that way or herself gets a chance to see themselves that way. So on one hand, that's for basically... gay and lesbian and transgendered and other people who are both young and old.
Mm-hmm.
But also, even in the wider world, I mean, look at the progress we've made with gay marriage.
Yeah.
How much of that has been, how much was Ellen a part of that? And silly stuff like Will and Grace, you know?
Mm-hmm.
These things that just suddenly expand your mind and take something that was only whispered about before and demonized, and it's like, oh, really? Well, that's just not such a big deal after all, is it?
Yep, yep.
And so on that level, the more you can kind of present basically people as people.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and kind of take away the cobwebs and say, you think it's this big other, but it's really not. I think that is actually creates a benefit for everybody, not just LGBT people, but straight people, for people who don't have that experience. Because I think ultimately, the more we can all see each other as people with unlimited potential, as opposed to here's your box and here's your role.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing in particular, this is a tangent. But,
sure, go right ahead.
I mean, sexism hurts everybody.
Yes.
You know, there can be this belief that sexism just hurts women and, boy, isn't that a bad thing and whatever. But, you know, there's a reason, the kind of boxes it puts straight men in, saying here's what you can feel, here's what you can't feel, here's what your expectations are, and, you know, leading to the higher rate of suicide among straight men. I mean, it's
right.
There's all these sorts of things that I really do believe that the more that we can kind of get beyond delusional BS...
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I can say BS in this podcast.
You can say bullshit if you want to. It's totally fine.
Yes, when we can be on delusional bullshit, I think it benefits everyone.
Awesome. And so just one kind of final question for you. So obviously we're at NijiCon, so I just want to get your sense of what do you think about the spirit and the sense of what they're trying to accomplish here at NijiCon?
Well, I think that it's a good thing, and I think that we're going to see more of it, where, as before, you know, YaoiCon was very, you know, the YaoiCons were there before, that Yaoi was was guy and guy romance written by women for women that was very regimented. You know, you had the Bishonen, the beautiful boys, mm-hmm. you know, and they had a certain look, and somebody had to be the top, the seimei, and somebody had to be the bottom, the uke, and these were, you know, and the uke always had to say no, 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 no throughout the whole thing. I think that's changing in Japan, you know, as we're getting the third generation of yaoi lovers who are getting to the point where they are real, have to get their own gay friends. It's not so separate. It's like, well, I don't want to just create these sort of weird fantasy, you know, stereotypes. I want to actually have gay men who are, act like gay men and who actually maybe want to have sex.
Right.
And are, and it's not, and somebody doesn't have to be rapey about it. And,
uh-huh. Yep.
And I think, you know, you're having a similar thing here too with the cons, where the cons are becoming more and more inclusive, where, you know, on both sides of the fence. I mean, there was a time where there was gay, you know, a lot. Here's a little tip for you gay men out there. A lot of the gay romance you read that's prose, it's not comics, is actually written by women. Even though it's listed, even though it has a guy's name on there, not so much.
Not so much.
And there was a time, you know, where guys would actually get hot under the collar about that sort of thing. And now you're seeing that much less. That it's yeah. it's really, there's no reason why a gay actor can't play a straight character. There's no reason why a straight woman can't write for a gay character.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think that in general we're kind of, we're coming together in a way that I think is really healthy for us as a species.
Thanks. Awesome. And finally, just to help with promoting you and your work and what you're doing, obviously, how can people follow you? If they want to, you know all about you, because I know I want to know all about you. Again, follow, not stalk. I got to make sure I know the line there. How can they find you?
Well, the best thing to do, first of all, if any of my comics sound like they might appeal to you, is check them out online. You can read all my work online for free.
Okay.
If you go to artifice.com, that's artifice.com, you'll be able to read the story of Artifice for free, and that's a complete story. There'll also be a link to my shop if you want to buy it. You can buy it also on amazon.com,
okay.
Both in Kindle format and also in the graphic novel format. Also, my currently updating comic is The Young Protectors.
And I'm so excited. I'm sorry I had to cut you off. I'm super ecstatic about this, by the way. I should have even started with this because this could be a whole nother hour. But please, please continue.
So it's The Young Protectors. It's a superhero comic. It's about Kyle, who's a young superhero who finally gets up the courage to go to a gay bar. And he gets in the gay bar, has the courage, gets out, all excited, and he runs into the most dangerous supervillain in the world.
Nice.
And, you know,
Who doesn't love that? Who doesn't love the plot already? I can't wait.
And the price that the supervillain has to keep his secret is something that leads Kyle down a path of adventure and romance and danger and all kinds of stuff. And we're up to 250 pages right now.
Okay.
Which you can read online. I'm updating twice a week at this point, of Saturdays and Wednesdays. There will be a book. And that actually had another Kickstarter. So the second Kickstarter, mm-hmm. this time I asked for $14,000 because I really wanted to print it with the same quality book. I mean, you've seen the quality of the book.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
a nice paper.
It's very nice.
I want to do the same thing for The Young Protectors. It's going to be in three volumes. So I Kickstarted the first volume, asked for $14,000 in 30 days, and this time I got $133,000.
Yeah, that's impressive. And rightfully so, because this book is going to be amazing.
And at that book, so first the Kickstarter backers need to get the copy of the book, and that's being printed right now as we speak. I just got word from the printer. So it should be available for the general public in spring.
Okay.
But for now, if you're wanting to check out that comic, I would recommend going to youngprotectors.com. That's I tend to not pronounce that well. It's Y-O-U-N-G, young, like not old, youngprotectors.com. And that will take you right to the first page. And it's a webcomic, a little next button in the bottom, and you can just start reading your way through that.
Awesome. Well, once again, I definitely recommend that you guys go to this website and take a look at it. I loved it. The art is great that I've seen so far. The concept is amazing, so I'm super excited about it. So I'll definitely be following you on that. So once again, Alex, thank you so much for spending some time with me. It's really great, you know, to have an opportunity to talk, to listen and write, and listen to a writer. You know, I don't realize how special it is until you get a chance to do it. So I really appreciate you taking the time.
Well, it's my pleasure, and hopefully it's inspirational to other writers and creators out there, because this is just an awesome time to be a creator.
Awesome. All right. Well, that's it for us. We'll talk to you soon.